Today, my message comes from the book of Joshua. So if you'd like to turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. And Joshua is the book that tells about going into the promised land. Alright? So here we go. Is all there? Got it? Alright. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9 reads, After the death of Moses, God was instructing Joshua about taking possession of the promised land. Moses had died. Reading on from verse 5 in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, God says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law, to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to understand the scripture today, specifically some stuff here I want to talk about. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we get from it, Lord, that you are on our side, Lord. You are on our side. While we remain on your side, Lord, you are on our side. And you will take us, Lord, wherever you want us to go. And as we commit our way to you, Lord, and walk in the light that you provide for us, your promise is, Lord, that you will shine more light and lead the way to where it is that you want us to be. So we pray today, Lord, as we look into these scriptures, that you would speak to each one of us here, Lord. Speak to our hearts, speak through our ears. Let your Holy Spirit inspire us, Lord, to see what it is that you want to speak to us this day, Lord, and encourage us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, due to the circumstances that we who faithfully remain at Coastline have found ourselves to be in since Pastor James returned to Sydney, I believe the Lord put it upon my heart during the week to bring an update on the message that I preached 5 years ago. I preached this message 5 years ago. The message, I've updated it of course, the message was an exhortation and an encouragement to us about being strong and very courageous as we serve and honour the Lord our God in these perilous last days of the church age. Today, because of our unique situation of still being without a scripturally qualified pastor, I believe the Lord wants to remind us to be faithful, firstly to Him, faithful to our fellowship with and commitment to each other, and faithful to Coastline Baptist Church, as we determine to walk obediently with the Lord, despite whatever adversity we might encounter along the way. Amen? Back in 2014, when I first got inspired to prepare a message on this topic, the Lord got my attention about something that I thought was quite amazing. And in the context of his communication with Joshua in the scriptures that we just opened with this morning, there's something in there that I'd never noticed. Within these scriptures I saw something remarkable that as far as I can remember, I had never seen before. Even though I had read these scriptures numerous times and had heard countless excellent messages of encouragement and instruction preached from the book of Joshua, the Lord revealed to me at that time something within these verses we've read this morning that usually goes unnoticed, but which I believe is of extreme importance. What I observed was not only vitally important to the success of Joshua's campaigns to drive out the Lord's enemies from the promised land, but also us, we Christians, it's important to us, we Christians who live in the closing stage of the church age. Of significance to us here at Coastline Baptist Church, I believe the Lord revealed to me some timely, relevant truths from the book of Joshua that complemented what was being preached in our Sunday morning services during that time. Pastor James was preaching a series Our theme was about revival. Remember we did a revival theme, right? And in particular, our desire and prayer that God would revive the next generation. That's what we were praying for at the time. Where's all the young people that are going to take this church on? Amen? We've got some faithful people here. Alright? I just need to listen up, you young people this morning. And you old blokes too, alright? And ladies. That God would revive the next generation in our church is a subject that can have grave consequences as to whether Coastline Baptist Church would continue on in service to God into the future, or whether, as happens on far too many occasions with other churches that started out good, it would fall away into lifeless mediocrity, liberalism, and eventual insignificance. Before I share with you what it is that the Lord put upon my heart from the book of Joshua, let's remind ourselves of the circumstances leading up to the Lord's well-known and unforgettable words to Joshua, where he said, "Be thou strong and very courageous." We all know that scripture, eh? We might know where it comes from, but we've all heard it. If you've been a Christian for any more than probably a month, you would have heard that scripture quoted. You've got something going on in your life? Be thou strong and very courageous. God's on your side. You will remember that the Hebrews had been living in Egypt since the time of Joseph. And over time they became enslaved by the Egyptians. Moses was eventually raised up as their deliverer. And in Exodus 12:41, we are told that it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The children of Israel should have proceeded directly from Egypt into the promised land. You understand that, eh? They were supposed to come out of Egypt and go straight into the promised land. However, in Deuteronomy 1, 20, 21 and 22, you can turn there, please. In Deuteronomy 1, chapter 1, just back from Joshua, we see that when God told Moses to go up and possess the land, the people feared what they were getting into. Their courage failed them, and they convinced Moses, not to listen to God, they convinced Moses to send 12 spies to go and check out the land first. Don't go straight up there. We need to check out what we're getting into here. God said, go up. Man said, no, hang on. There's some scary things in there we know about. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, it records the words of Moses. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, he said. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they will search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Oh, they had to get a second opinion. God wasn't good enough, you see. Moses yielded to the wishes of the people, and he chose 12 men to go and take a look at the land. And after 40 days, they returned. They all reported back to the camp that the land was good. But there was a bit of a problem. While two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, assured the people that with God's promise of protection, they were well able to go up and defeat the inhabitants and take the land. Nevertheless, the other 10 spies discouraged the Israelites with frightening stories about giants who lived there. You all know the story? Don't go up there. Hang on. There's giants in there. The people refused to go. So continuing on in verses 34 to 40 of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, we read, Moses berates the people. He says, the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth. He was angry and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. You're not going to see the land now. He got angry with them because they wouldn't go in. Oh, we need to check out whether God's really telling us the truth here. So they refused to go in, and God got angry. And he said, not one of you people are going to go into the promised land. Not one. Save Caleb, in verse 36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. So he was in good favour with God. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, verse 39, moreover, your little ones, which he said would be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, the congregation, take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Turn around and go that way. So rather than enter the land across the Jordan, they were forced to wander for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness, being led by Moses, until that generation died out, including Moses. He didn't go in either, remember? He smoked the rock, right? He didn't go in either. In the last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, and verses 5 and 6 and 7, it records about the death of Moses. That's just before the book of Joshua, by the way. It's recorded, the death of Moses, at the age of 120 years. The whole generation that came out of Egypt all died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. All of the adults died, alright? In verse 9, after the death of Moses, we are told that Joshua was given the responsibility to lead the people across the Jordan to possess the land that God had promised them. Which brings them back to our opening scripture, the book directly following the closing of Deuteronomy with the death of Moses. Joshua chapter 1. Numbers 32, if you like to turn to Numbers 32, we'll just clear up this business about who went into the promised land, who didn't go in. Numbers 32, 11 and 12 tells us, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward. None of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward, if you were 20 years old when you came out of Egypt, you never got into the promised land. If you were under, you did, alright? Anyhow, surely, he says in verse 11, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Oh, we need to follow God, eh? We need to obey God, my friends. And he says, verse 12, say, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. They wholly obeyed God. The entire generation of Israelites, above 20 years of age, died. They perished, except for Joshua and Caleb. The generation passed from the scene without ever coming into the promise of God because of their disbelief and disobedience to the words of God. They failed to obey and do everything that the Lord instructed them for their own success and prosperity. The people who went into the promised land were the children up to the age of 20 who came out of Egypt, as well as the children who had been born during the wilderness years. It was the next generation. In relation to us here at Coastline, it's the younger generation who become the ones to continue the good work the Lord has done in raising up our church. A work that began with the intention of serving God in obedience to what He plainly says in His Word, and not according to what 60 or 70 other churches in our city teach or involve themselves in. We're going to do what God says, amen? Forget about what all the other churches say that contradict the Word of God. Let's stick with God, amen? Okay, we won't have big numbers of friends, but let's do what God says. All right? How many people come out of Egypt? Millions! How many went into the promised land? It wasn't the mob that came out of Egypt. They all died. The adults all died in the wilderness. So, it's the next generation. It's a smaller mob. It's a smaller mob that gets into the promised land, alright? So we're going to do what God leads us to do, not what all the other churches around the country tell us to do. And it's the next generation who will need to be nurtured, instructed and protected in order for them to be able to take the work on into the future and have it go from strength to strength rather than being swallowed up in apostasy and worldliness. Hey, we have to make sure that we nurture and instruct and protect the next generation of people who are going to take Coastline Baptist Church on. I might live for another 10 years, another 20 years. I think the Lord's going to be back before that. But let's say I did. Well, let's say I didn't. Let's say I die next week. Well, Andy's getting up there too, you know. Another 20 years, how old will you be? 70. You'd be an old turnout like me. So that's right, you see. So we need younger people coming up through the congregation. We've got a bunch of girls here, but we haven't got too many blokes, hey? We need men. We need men. We need men that are prepared to stand up and fight. Blokes that are game, all right? It's the next generation who will need to understand what it was that the Lord was instructing Joshua if they are to be prosperous and have good success. And this is what I want to bring to our attention. What it was that got my attention in the book of Joshua for the first time about 5 or 6 years ago, and what I want to remind us of today. I had previously read about Joshua's exploits numerous times, and I had heard countless inspiring messages preached recounting Joshua's history. But I had missed something important. And I think most people do. People mostly miss in the story about Joshua and Caleb. It seemed that in Christendom, the phrase, "Be thou strong and very courageous," is quoted nearly as often as John 3:16, particularly in the Pentecostal churches where I spent about 15 years of my early Christian experience. The words of God to Joshua, "Be thou strong and very courageous," were quoted about just about every time that some Christian was facing a difficulty. They quoted all the time. "Oh, be thou strong and the Lord is with you." They could be into all sorts of mischief, and they claim, "Oh, God's with you, just keep striving on, all right? And you'll beat that giant." Be strong and defeat the enemy that confronts you is one application that is surely valid in the context of God's words to Joshua. Be strong and defeat the enemies that confront you in your life is one application that is surely valid in the context of God's words to Joshua. So I'm not saying that it isn't. Quoting the very words that God spoke to Joshua in the New Testament, in Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6, it assures us that God also says to the church age, He says to us in the church, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That sounds a bit like what he said to Joshua. "Be thou strong and very courageous. Don't worry about the giants. Be thou strong and very courageous. Look to me." All right? "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." If I'm walking with God, this is a promise to us, my friends. And that's a good application of Scripture in encouraging people in their Christian walk. So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God's words to Joshua to be strong and very courageous do not apply to defeating the giants in our Christian life, as we walk in our Christian walk. They do. But I saw something else in the context of what we read in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua that doesn't get mentioned as much as battling and defeating giants. We're going to go out and fight the giants, all right? That's how the people think. I saw something different. However, I believe it's something of such importance that if we want to prosper and succeed in the biblical sense, then we need to get a clear understanding of what God is actually saying or what he said to Joshua. Let's have another look at our opening scripture in Joshua chapter 1, please. And let's read from verse 6 through to 9. Okay? Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read those verses again. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Read along with me carefully, because I'm going to ask a very relevant question when we get to the end. All right? Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now for the question I said I was going to ask. Do you see any sign of the word Canaanite mentioned in these verses where God told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage? Did you see Canaanite mentioned? Did you notice the mention of any of the Hittites? or any other kind of ites in these verses, where God was commanding Joshua to be strong and very courageous? Did you even notice any mention of giants or enemies in these verses, where God commanded Joshua to be strong and of a good courage? Did you see anything mentioned there about that? No, neither did I. And that was the amazing thing I noticed for the first time about God's communication with Joshua. In the immediate context of God's words to Joshua in chapter 1, to be strong and very courageous and to be not afraid nor be dismayed, the focus is not upon the enemy or any of the giants he knew he would have to confront once he crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land with the children of Israel. There's no mention of giants. But isn't that what the children's Bible stories are full of? They all present as the context of God telling Joshua to be strong and very courageous. Isn't that the context of every story you've ever heard about Joshua and the land going into the Promised Land? You're going to have to battle the giants. Is that what you understand about the story of Joshua? That's the story that you get told. The thing about Joshua going into the Promised Land to be strong and very courageous, you're going to have to fight the giants. Don't they all portray that Joshua would need to be strong and very courageous because he was going to have to go into the land and do battle with the fearful tribes that inhabited it? That's what I've always been taught is the background of God's words to Joshua. But in context, the focus is not on any giants. It's not on the giants. Let's have another look at these verses and carefully take note of just what it was that God told Joshua that he was going to need to be strong and very courageous about. Read with me from verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1 again, please. Don't miss why God was telling Joshua that he would need to be strong and very courageous. And I think it's you need to be strong and very courageous for this, more than you need to be to battle giants, my friends, from what I've observed in Christianity over 40 years, all right? Reading from verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people that shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. There's a point there. You'll need to be very strong and very courageous to divide the land to these people, my friends, because there's going to be some arguments. Who needs to get this and who needs to get that, you see? But let's go on. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Let's read it again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. What was God telling Joshua? He's telling Joshua that as he leads the people, the next generation of people of Israel, whatever circumstances he finds himself in, if he intends to faithfully and obediently serve God from this day and forward on into the future, he will need to be strong and very courageous not to depart from the commandments of the law, which God had very recently given to Moses. That's what he'd have to be strong and very courageous about, not to depart from the commandments of the law. He would need to be strong and very courageous that he did not compromise the truth of God's word by deviating even just a little bit, either to the right hand or to the left. He would need to be fearless in order to stand true, straight and steadfast upon what the word of God says. Amen? The rest of verse 7 says, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The word, is that interesting or not? Very interesting to me it was. I thought we've got to go and fight giants. No, we've got to obey the word of God. That's hard. Is it hard to fight giants? It's harder to obey God. It's harder to obey God. Amen? The rest of verse 7 says, as I said, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The word prosper in this, our lovers of self-generation, usually conjures up, listen you young people please, older people too, but particularly young people. The word prosper in our lovers of self-generation usually conjures up in our minds images of money, motor cars, a big flash house full of computers, iPads, iPhones, TVs, and every other conceivable electronic gadget to which to entertain ourselves with. Doesn't it? Is that being prosperous? Big flash motor car. House full, nice house. Big house too. Forget that you've only got 3 people living in the thing and you've got 10 rooms, right? And they're all full of stuff. However you want to look prosperous. If you're like that, people look to you and say, oh, they're very prosperous. The way we think today, if we want to impress people that we are prosperous, then we think we have to convince them with an outward display of abundance, of money and worldly possessions. Is that right? That's right. Yes, it is. That's how we are today in this society. But what did Jesus have to say in Luke 12:15 about this fanciful interpretation of the word prosperous? He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware of wanting all those things, you see, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Beware, take heed of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Also in Revelation 3:17, Jesus rebuked the Laodicean church because they thought that their prosperity was measured by their abundance of money and possessions. He said in verse 17 of Revelation 3, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. To prosper, though, in the sense that God was speaking to Joshua, actually means that if we will be strong and very courageous and determined with God's help not to be intimidated by our culture or our circumstances, but stand resolute upon the word of God, we will have good success in whatever God may call us to put our hands to. God will give us wisdom and understanding to succeed in the task he has called us to. It's got nothing to do with the abundance of goods and possessions we might have. Despite what the televangelists have been telling us for years on the TV, and that some silly Christians believe, you've got to be rich. You've got to have money. I watched Kenneth Copeland yesterday. Somebody sent me a clip. A news reporter came up to him, caught him getting in his big flash motor car, and he's going off to get into his aeroplane, his Gulfstream jet that he bought for millions and millions of dollars. And she puts the microphone in his face and camera gets on him. People are talking about your great wealth. Are you supposed to have all this great wealth as an evangelist, a preacher? And he's got all these excuses why he spent all these millions of dollars on stuff. He's got two jet planes. That group of people, the Pentecostals, the name it and claim it mob, the wealth and prosperity people, the leaders are filthy rich. And they get their money from little ladies that sit at home and watch the TV sending them checks in the mail. Most of it comes from that sort of place. Kenneth Copeland did tell this lady that was interviewing her, oh, I've got oil wells, didn't you know that? I get a lot of money from oil. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Well, gas fields or something. You didn't know that, did you? She said, no, I didn't. Is that where you got your money from? No, he didn't get his money from that. So, reading on from verse 8, God continues to instruct Joshua as to what else he will need to be strong and very courageous about. This is what God was telling Joshua, reading on from verse 8 in our Joshua chapter 1, wasn't it? God continues to instruct Joshua as to what else he would need to be strong and very courageous about. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. And then, when you do that, and then, God promises, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. If we are going to be successful in observing and doing according to all that the word of God instructs us to do, if we are going to succeed in obeying God, turning not from his word, either to the right hand or the left, if we are going to believe for God to give us prosperity in the biblical sense and success in all that he calls us to do, then let me assure you, we are going to need to be strong and very courageous. Amen? God's commandment did not exclude the former generation who came out of Egypt, any more than it excludes the original generation of our church. Because if you are observant, Joshua and Caleb were included, two men who came out of Egypt. So some of the previous generation were there, you see, and God speaks to the previous generation in the church as well. it was predominantly the next generation of Israelites who were going to be responsible to go forward into the next phase of God's purpose, to bring his people into his promise. But there'll be some of the older people there, all right? Under the leadership of Joshua, the next generation were promised that if they would be strong and very courageous, standing fast upon the word of God, God himself would give them great success. In verse 8 and 9, God reminds Joshua, "For then, underline then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." It was the next generation of Israelites who would need to be strong and very courageous. And it is the next generation of any of the Lord's faithful churches that needs to be strong and very courageous, especially in this day, to go forward from where they are currently to achieve whatever it might be that the Lord has got planned for them. But it's a fearlessness and a courage not to face the giants, not to face the giants, it's not about the giants, but to faithfully observe and obey all that God commands us to do in his word. That's hard, to do what God calls you to do in his word. There'll always be something that wants you to compromise and just tone it down a bit and go along with the crowd. Amen? There'll always be something that will want you to compromise God's commandments to you and to me. There's always something. It's not much sense in praying to God to help us defeat the giants that will surely confront us in our Christian journey if we aren't even willing to be strong and courageous to do what his word tells us. Alright? Not much sense praying to God to defeat the giants in our lives if we're not willing to do what he says in his word. We're going to have giants. It's not going to be much use either when we do confront a giant, which we will, if we don't even know from our Bibles what the commandments of the Lord are. How can we be strong and courageous to obey God's word so that he can prosper us and give us success if we haven't even got a clue what his word says? You with me? How could we confidently ask our opponents, like the Lord Jesus did, "What saith the scriptures?" We need to know what God requires of us from his word and why it takes strength and courage to obey what it says. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 2, please. We need to know God's word. We need to do God's word. And as you do, God promises he'll look after you. Amen? 1 John 2, 14 to 16 speaks to all of us, but it has particular reference to young people, our next generation. Here we read, verse 14, "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." The word of God abides in you, you will overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Go back to verse 14. "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." This is not only saying that we are to disentangle ourselves from the world, but we are to disentangle ourselves from the things that are in the world. If we are confused about what the world is, listen carefully, please. If we are confused about what the world is, or what the things of the world are, then just carefully observe what it is that the unsaved people of the world love. And you'll have your irrefutable answer. Just stand still for a while and see what the world loves. That's the thing you need to get away from. Okay? Now, I'm not saying if they love eating food. Do you know what I mean? If you see them all going to the movies, massive millions of people going to the movies, you can just about guarantee God would not want you there. I mean that. God would not want you going to the movies. You can't go to the movies today without being indoctrinated by the world. They're not there to teach you about God. Even these so-called Christian movies, they're not there to promote God, they're there to promote the world, the flesh and the devil. That's just one example. You see them all hanging around in the pub, big crowds of people, you know, hey, get away from it. Alright? So, just stand still and watch what the world does and what they love, and you'll have your answer. Oh, that must be the world. That sure is. It takes a bit of strength and courage to separate ourselves from those enticing things and from the people who enjoy them. But if we, especially our young people, if we are going to have success at all in defeating the world, the flesh and the devil, we are going to have to be strong and very courageous to obey the word of God. Facing the giants without being obedient to the word of God is the same as committing suicide. If some Christian is being overcome by the temptations of the world, the flesh and the devil, then the problem is that they are not being strong and courageous in obeying the word of God. That's what the problem is. It's simple. You need to know the word of God and you need to obey it. If you're having trouble with giants and they're always defeating you, it's because you're not being strong and courageous enough and standing for God's word. That's all. Is that simple? One and one makes two, doesn't it? If you obey the word of God, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to resist him with what? Not with your muscle. Look out. Oh, with the word of God. The word of God. In closing, hey, you with me this morning? It's not to go into the promised land to fight the giants that Joshua had to be strong and courageous about. It was to obey God's word. Obey what I'm telling you to do and I'll defeat the giants for you. Is that right? That's right. In closing, as we take into consideration the unique circumstances that we have found ourselves to be in here over the last 2 years at Coastline Baptist Church, this is what God is calling all of us, young or old, to be strong and very courageous about. It's about obeying His word, not fighting giants. We are not to be fearful, but to trust God. Amen? If we will be strong and very courageous to find out what God's word says, and then stand rock solid upon it and obey it, God will deal with all the giants we are ever likely to encounter. And He will lead us into whatever it is that He's got planned for us. Now, very interesting, eh? Well, what about David went out and slew the giant? Well, what did David tell Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47? David shouted in the giant's face. This is what he shouted to Goliath when Goliath mocked him. He said, "The Lord saveth not with sword or spear. The Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's." And he took a stone and a slingshot and went poof with a stone and hit Goliath in the forehead and dropped him dead. And he walked over there and chopped his head off. Pretty gruesome stuff, eh? But that's what he did. That's what he did. Make sure he doesn't get up. Let me tell you something about David, and I know for sure that David did not slay the giant. God did. By God's grace, David was able to do that. The story of David talks about him going down into the creek to get a stone for his sling. He went down and he got a stone. He got, it says, smooth stone. And he got 5 smooth stones. Now I'm going to get into a bit of typology here. 5 is the number for grace. God's grace. Alright? 5 is the number for grace. He picked smooth stones that had been worn in the washing of the water. And he took one of those and we get washed in the water of the Word of God. And the rough edges get washed off us and we become stones for the Lord. Amen? David took one stone of those 5, put it in his sling and hurled it at the giant and it hit him right in the centre of the forehead and dropped him. Right? Dropped him dead. God did that. It was God's grace. Nothing that David did. David said, "The Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The fight is God's, not ours," alright, with the giants. What have we got to do? We've got to be strong and very courageous to obey God's word. It's God who will give the giants into our hands. Our job is to be strong and very courageous to observe and to do all that the Word of God tells us. To walk strong, straight and true, turning not not from His Word, either to the right hand or to the left. If we will do that, God promises to deal with the giants. You've got big problems in your life? You need to just get into the Word of God and obey it. And everything will come out right. God will slay the giant, alright? If we do that, God promises to deal with the giants. He assures us, I am with you, whithersoever you go. Only be thou strong and very courageous. What for? To do what God's Word says. Amen? You with me? Let's pray. Close the service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for revealing this truth to us today, Lord. That weak people like us, Lord, we're never going to defeat any giants. We thank you, Lord, that your Word tells us that if we will be strong and courageous enough to read your Word, Lord, read it, study it, and then do it, Lord, as James says, be not hearers only, but doers of the Word. Then your promise is, Lord, that you will make us successful, you will prosper us, and you will take us, Lord, past all the giants, over the giants, Lord, and into whatever it is that you've got for us. I pray for these people at Coastline Baptist Church, Lord, that we will do that. We will continue to read your Word, be faithful to you, Lord, and expect you, Lord, to lead us in the light that you've got for us. Bless the people of Coastline Baptist Church. Bless Coastline Baptist Church. We thank you for raising it up 12 years ago, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for raising up a place for people who want to, Lord, know what your Word says and do it, Lord. And we pray that you bless the people today, help them to do that in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.